Im Namen des Vaters, der Heiligen Geist, bitte zu Sancti. Amen. I'm surprised to see so many of you here this morning. A little snowstorm gave us about 4 inches or so. But today we have the day after Ash Wednesday, so kind of our first formal beginning to the season of Lent. And we have for today all the readings for until Easter are proper. Every single day has its own proper readings, epistle and gospel. And the saints during this period, from about mid-February to mid-March, there are fewer saints because it's always Lent is always in this time. So fewer saints' feast days, but we will still hear of some of them, but not nearly as many as throughout the rest of the year. And so I will try to restrain myself in going on, but there are still going to be saints to talk about, as well as the proper readings for each day. So the saint for today is actually, there is Saint Simeon. He is one of the second bishop of Jerusalem and one of the kinsmen of our Lord, right? Like one of the cousins of our Lord, as we'll see. But also, maybe you are familiar with the name Fra Angelico. He's a painter, the Renaissance painter. And he was actually a Dominican monk in the year 1407, and his name was Giovanni. But everybody called him Angelico because of his paintings and his demeanor and his goodness. It was said of him by a fellow artist, "It is impossible to bestow too much praise on this holy father who was so humble and modest in all that he did and said, and whose pictures were painted with such facility and piety." It's good to know that. Good to know that these saints we have, these artists, Renaissance painters, were also as skilled in the spirit as they were in artistry. But let's see, St. Simeon, second bishop of Jerusalem, as I mentioned. The first bishop of Jerusalem was St. James the Just, who was his brother. And their father was Cleophas, and he had a brother also. Let's see, so St. Simeon's father was Cleophas. His uncle was a carpenter by the name of Joseph, and he got married to a woman named Mary. And so his cousin was our blessed Lord. And if you remember, Cleophas is mentioned in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, on the road to Emmaus. He was one of the two disciples walking. So Simeon, his older brother, was St. James the Just, or James the Lesser, the first bishop of Jerusalem. And when he was martyred, St. Simeon took his place. And this is in the year 62. Shortly after becoming bishop of Jerusalem, St. Simeon was warned by God to leave, and then took place the destruction of Jerusalem. St. Simeon and all the just in the city fled, and then they returned afterwards and began rebuilding Jerusalem. And at this time, it was very difficult in that he had to both rebuild the city and, in a certain sense, was building the church at the same time. And there were many, many Jews who came back, and they were the Judaizers. Yes, they accepted Christ, but they wanted to blend Catholicism and the old Jewish religions. So St. Simeon was bringing that fledgling church through that very difficult period. He ended up a martyr in the persecution of Trajan in the year 107. He was condemned for being a Christian. And despite his venerable age of being 120 years old, they tortured him for 3 days and then crucified him. So a great honor to be martyred in the same way as our Lord, but also shows the great cruelty of the world, which would do that to, again, a venerable, aged old man. But our readings for today relate very much, we could say, to martyrdom and to faith. And in for our epistle and gospel, it is about, and the prayer, especially the prayer of today, it's about faith in what we can't see. It's about faith in the power of prayer, the power of penance, and the mercy of God. So the gospel is about the centurion whose statement we say before receiving Holy Communion, "Lord, I am not worthy that thou should enter under my roof, but only say the word and my servant shall be healed." You change one little word there, and then we say that every single day, right? Domine non sum dignus. So certainly I'm going to have to find out when the centurion's feast day is. I'm sure he's got one somewhere. He became a bishop or a martyr someplace. But the point of that is to tell us that, we do this fasting, we do this penance, we read about the martyrs who gave their lives for Christ, and we don't see anything. Well, I mean, it's not really true. I mean, we don't see anything in the short term. Is it really making a difference? And how many of us have thought that, right? When giving up a Lenten penance and it's really difficult, we give it up. We're like, you know, is it even doing anything at all? Sometimes it seems not. But that's what the point of faith is. Faith is believing whatever God says can be done. Especially when he's working on healing our souls, the epistle is talking about one of the kings of Israel who was very sick, and God sends Isaiah to him and says, tell the king, you are sick, you're not going to recover. Get your house in order, you're going to die. And Ezekiel prayed and wept, and God sends Isaiah back to him and says, I have heard his prayer, and tell him I will add 15 years to his life. I have healed him. Now, we don't know what's wrong with us, right? I mean, in so many ways. I mean, other people, they could tell us what's wrong with us. That's why we should listen to the criticism of others. But our own faults and sins, we are blind to them. And even those we find out, there are deeper and deeper and deeper levels on the inside at which we need healing, which are very, very sick. And so often, the prayers and penances we do are healing those very, very deep things. And we can't even tell that we've been healed, right? But that doesn't mean something hasn't taken place. And so that is why it is so important to believe with the centurion, say but the word, and my servant shall be healed. My soul shall be healed. And what a statement, you know? The centurion says, I say to one man, go, and he goes. Another, do this, and he does it. So he's telling Christ. The implicit faith in Christ from the centurion was, so when you say to sickness, be gone, it will go. When you say to death, leave, it will leave, or it will come. When you say to the winds and the sea, be still, they will be still. Right, so it's absolute dominion of God, of our Lord Jesus Christ, over everything in nature. That's what we are to believe when we are doing our fasting and our prayers. If we believe that God exists, if we believe in the truths of the Catholic faith, we will have no trouble believing God can accomplish anything that he wants to do. And what does God want? Our conversion, our repentance. And in the prayer, I would really like to speak about the prayer. It just tells us everything we need to know. O God, who art offended by sin and appeased by penance, hear the prayers of thy suppliant people, and turn aside the scourge of thy anger, which we deserve for our sins. Right? There are like six pieces of information in this short little prayer. God is offended by sin and appeased by penance. You know, we've all offended God by sin. Have we ever tried to appease him by penance? Have we ever thought about that? That, you know, I can do something that is pleasing to God. I could do something that will make reparations for what I've done to him. You know, we all want forgiveness. We all want to go to confession, and over and over and over again, my confessions are always the same, always the same. You know, we do the penance the priest assigns, but it's important to do more than that. In fact, that's one of the reasons we say in the act of contrition, I promise to confess my sins, to do penance, and to amend my life. It's really not to do my penance, but to do penance in general. We should be doing penance. Because when we do penance, right, when we unite that to prayers, we can turn aside the scourge of God's anger. Our prayers can make a difference. And here's a really important piece here. God can be angry, right? Not in the sense of like we get angry, like his emotions rise up and fall. It's not like that. But God is offended by sin, and in God's anger, he will punish us for our sins. It's right. It's just. That's why it says, which we deserve by our sins. Like, everything is there. We've got a whole ton of Catholic, very simple Catholic theology that lays the foundation. We have sinned. We deserve punishment for our sins. God is offended and angered by our sins. However, by doing penance and by prayer, we can turn aside this anger to our benefit and heal our souls. Like, all of that is implied in there. But in order to recognize these things, in order to do these things, it takes humility. Right? And humility, as I always say, is simply admitting the truth. Admit what is true, and you'll be a humble person. It's a very simple truth, you could say. Not how does it make me feel, what do I want to be true, or do I wish was true, or I'm kind of scared, I'm too afraid to admit that that's true. Just admit it. You know, is this the truth? Is this the case? Be honest with yourselves. Be open. Be humble. And then you'll have no trouble understanding the prayers and the epistles and so on, right? Just read it with the clear eyes of faith. So there's a lot in here I didn't even talk about. But like I said, my penance is going to be trying to do shorter sermons. So maybe I should do longer sermons for your penance. But anyways, you know, I want you to read it, right? The lessons every single day for this upcoming season, this was the early church's, this was their catechism. This is their preparation for Easter. And so there was something to learn. There was some point of doctrine or some point of theology or something that they were going to learn every single day. And every single day they went to a different church. And so we can take it this as our catechism lessons, right? Every day, let's be doing these readings, reading the prayers, all the prayers of the Mass, and really seeking to mine, right, to dig out of them. We have to read it two or three or four times. Let's do that. And if you come across something that is really good, let me know. I'll put it in one of my sermons. A little audience participation here this season. We're all in this together, right? So let's just keep doing our prayers, our fastings and penances, believing absolutely they do make a difference, and God is hearing our prayers and healing our souls. God bless you all. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.